You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. It is the Thursday, May 19th edition of the show. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And, Chris, do we have a battle royale going on in the SEC right now? Good gracious. Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban going at it, I guess just like old times, I suppose. Reddit CFB, or no, maybe it was somebody else that said, man, if only I had known that Saban would lose his mind after an assistant finally beat him on the field, right? Like, who would have known that these were the ramifications of A&M beating Alabama back in October? Like, that is... do you have initial thoughts before we dive into the kerfuffle that has gone on in College Station and in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I'm about to start investing in some A&M gear, and I'll follow Jimbo to the depths.
And get Billy Lucci's despicable shirt that he's about to put out on Texags, right?
Yeah. I am. I've been waiting for somebody in college football to stand up to this son of a bitch for so long, and everybody is cowered because they felt like they didn't have the support of their administration, because it's almost impossible the way the old rules were to continually compete with him on the field. And now new rules are in, new game is changing, and teams are about to start being able to compete with them, I think, a little bit.
Okay. Well, let's dive into some of the comments that started this thing off. We'll start off with Saban and his thoughts on all of this.
But name, image, and likeness is something that's here. And I think the more supporters that we have for the University of Alabama in all sports, that are willing to sponsor players, whatever you want to call it, use them in your business to help your business, that's going to help our programs. The thing that I fear is at some point in time, they're just going to say, we're going to have to pay players. If we start paying players, we're going to have to eliminate sports. All right? And this is all bad for college sports. I mean, we probably have, 450 people on scholarship at Alabama, whether they're women's tennis players, women's softball players, golfers, you know, baseball players, non-revenue sports that have for years and years and years been able to create a better life for themselves because they've been able to get scholarships and participate in college athletics. That's what college athletics is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be something where people come and make money. And you make a decision about where you go to school based on how much money you're going to make. You should make a decision based on where you have the best chance to develop as a person, as a student, and as a player, which is what we've always tried to major in. And we're going to continue to do that. And hopefully there's enough people out there that want to do it. But I know the consequence is going to be difficult for the people who are spending tons of money to get players.
This is where he gets an A&M.
You read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right? We didn't buy one player. All right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. So it's tough, and people blame the NCAA. But in defense of the NCAA, we are where we are right, because of the litigation that the NCAA gets, like the transfer portal. Every time somebody wanted to transfer, they'd apply for a waiver. Right, if you didn't give them, the NCAA didn't give them a waiver so they could be immediately eligible, they filed suit. So the NCAA would back off and give them a waiver. So they just said, we're just going to make a rule where everybody can transfer. That's how that happened. So if the NCAA doesn't get some protection from litigation, whether we got to get an antitrust or whatever it is, from a federal government standpoint, this is not going to change because they cannot enforce their rules. Just like Nate said, we have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at Miami that are going to play basketball there for $400,000, it's in the newspaper. The guy tells you how he's doing it. So, but the NCAA can't enforce their rules because it's not against the law.
That's it. He hits a lot of different points, and there is an old guard that is totally against it and a new guard that is looking at this as an opportunity to jump in where they were not able to compete before. And now they're able to compete because of name, image, likeness. And it's all how you perceive name, image, likeness to be, right? Saban looks at it as once you get on campus and you have established yourself and you prove your worth, then you get your NIL deals.
How do you do that? Hang on. At what point in time are you established?
See, that's the question, right? Because Bryce Young, if you look at what he did before he played a meaningful snap.
Bragged about it. Bragged about it. Not one goddamn snap. He's got $1 million, and Nick was bragging about it. Boy, just swinging that dick, bragging about it. Let me ask you a question. You're an Alabama fan. This is an honest question. I take pop shots at this bastard all the time because I think he's a worthless piece of shit. But I've got to ask a real honest question. Now I'm not going to play this game where this is all tongue-in-cheek and we don't know what we don't know. And no, you and I are smart enough to know what we know. What do you think about somebody who just lies so easily? We've never paid a single player. We didn't pay a single recruit. How easily he does it, and he does it with such confidence. He does it with such control that if you disagree with me, I'm making this statement so strongly that if you disagree with me, you're wrong. I'm going to lie to your face so boldly that if you think I'm wrong, you're going to question everything you believe that's right.
Okay, listen. You were just talking about supporting Jimbo Fisher, and in his remarks today.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, but you like this guy, and he does that. No. I support Jimbo for one reason and one reason only.
Because he stood up to Saban.
He's standing up to the motherfucker for the first time.
Look, I understand the way that college sports is played. I understand that. The way that he says that they didn't pay players does not bother me in the slightest. The same way it doesn't bother me when anybody else says that they don't pay players, right? Jimbo Fisher, I fully believe that he thinks that they didn't pay players because the school and the coaching staff did not pay players, right? But we all look at it as a much bigger thing. We understand that boosters are doing this.
So for the last 20 years, all those Dodge Chargers are in the parking lot of Alabama's football facility, okay? But then a damn one of them got a parent that makes more than $30,000 or $40,000 a year.
And I don't know the answer to that. I laugh at the Dodge.
It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. And his name is Nicholas.
Okay, look at it this way.
And if you change one letter, the fucker's name is Satan. Now, I'm not a religious man, but Jesus.
Let's hold on. Before we get into what Jimbo said, let's dive into some other tweets here. Coach Prime himself, primetime neon Deion Sanders, said, "You best believe I will address the lie Coach Saban told tomorrow. I was awakened by my son that sent me the article stating that we paid Travis Hunter $1 million to play at Jackson State. We as people don't have to pay our people to play with our people." I think he went a race direction there.
Well, but hang on. That's another lie that Nick told that's actually verifiable, okay? He said they went and bragged about it. Jackson State has denied ever paying that.
But for some reason, Nick thinks it happened, and Nick is saying it's gospel truth, and they bragged about it.
Yeah, the brag part, I don't know why he brought Jackson State into this. I think he got on a rant and started going
crazy.
Because
he's a piece of shit, Gary. Because he was going to get that kid. Because he thought he could flip him from Florida State.
Yeah, Alabama was never in on Travis Hunter. But regardless,
they weren't in on a lot of guys until they get him. And you know that's the truth. That's the fucking truth.
John Ruiz, the billionaire down at Miami, responded to Coach Prime and said, Prime, reach out to me. Saban, really, you think you are above the law? Guess you can't play in a true equal playing field. Which I found very interesting. I look at it this way, okay? Screw that. Let's get into Jimbo Fisher now. Let's get into Jimbo Fisher. This is the beginning of his press conference. We're only going to hit on a few of the clips. I might post the entire 9 minutes on the podcast. So if you're watching this and you want to go listen to it, you can do that. So,
Coach, I'd like to respond to some comments made last night in Alabama.
Yes, I would. First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right.
So we'll start off with that one. I don't think Saban took any shots at 17-year-old kids or their families by saying that A&M and their collective paid for these players, right? And do you believe that A&M bought some of these kids? Like at least the booster culture?
Yeah. I think they came from NIL deals. Absolutely.
Yes. So it's a little crazy that in Jimbo in his statements continues to say that we didn't pay a single player. And that's just ludicrous. That's bananas. Like, why are you denying it? We'll talk about that more here in just a minute. Here's a couple more from Jimbo. These are a little quicker, I think.
The ethics in which we do things and these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way. You'll find out all the parity here.
Hold on.
We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up.
By the way, he's talking about Lane Kiffin there. I don't know if anybody remembers that from signing day, but regardless, here's the last 9 seconds of that.
Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
So he dives into that, of course. Again, like acting like this is personal against these kids is ridiculous. Saban said multiple times in his seven-minute diatribe about NIL that that he believes the kids should be paid. Like, he 100% said that there is nothing wrong with kids making money. It is inducing the kids to come to your place on money, right? And but it's but it's a semantics thing.
But you and I know we're getting into a damn semantics argument. Yes. That's dumb, and it's only used by the losers, Gary. It's only used by those who are not used to losing and don't know how to win. He wants to get kids there the old way because that was the only way he was ever able to beat everybody, because he had better talent. We call him the greatest coach to ever live in college football. But it took him getting all the best players and all the best coaches and the entire strength of the cathedral that run college football turning their backs and looking the other way. And as soon as one of his opponents gets strong and gets a little uppity and beats him a couple of times, in comes the white gloves and the investigation. Okay? That's what it took for him to dominate college football for 20 years. And he understands that now he has lost that and he needs that back. Or he's got to hang it up, because he's going to be proven to be a fraud.
See, I fall on the Mike Bray timeline, right? Mike Bray, the Notre Dame basketball coach, came out and said, basically, look, shut up and adjust. He said, we make plenty of money to deal with these headaches. And it sounds really dumb for us to be complaining about things like NIL and transfer portal and whatever when we make the amount of money that we do. We just need to learn to adjust to it. We'll figure it out, and if we don't, and we start losing, then we'll get fired and we'll get our money. Like,
but Nick doesn't want to adjust, Gary. He wants the, because he's so used to having the rules bend to him.
I tend to agree with you on that. I think that he does
not. For 20 years, we've allowed him to run over college football and get his way for everything.
I told you about the NIL collectives, right? About, I didn't think that it was a warning shot. The same way, I don't think this is a warning shot from Saban. I don't think this is one of those where, is this what we want football to be, right? It's not that. Is this going to be college football going forward and we're going to do it better than y'all? This is, he doesn't want to deal with boosters. He doesn't want to have to do all of that kind of crap. What Alabama set up was the same monetary inducement that A&M has got. A&M is just doing it on the front end. Alabama was saying, come to Alabama, develop here, and you will make a ton of money once you get into the NFL, once you go into your professional life. That is how Alabama's inducements have gone over the past 15 years since Saban has been there. But now...
Yeah, but that's on the... Hang on. That's on the front end. That's the pretty thing that they say as the inducement for all of the boosters and all the media. But we know that that's not true, Gary. We know that Tua Tagovailoa's family got paid obscene amounts of money to leave Honolulu, Hawaii, and come to Alabama.
Yeah, I don't doubt that there was something that went on there, but I never
said you and I know that. But yeah. And I've never had a problem with it. I hate the damn place, but I don't have a problem with it as long as everybody gets held to the same standard, all right? But I don't like it being in the dark the way it used to be. I like it being in the light, because now schools like Alabama don't have the ability, because some schools, for whatever reason, and I don't think it's boosters or schools so much, because none of these people are moral. Okay, don't get mistaken. You equated the fact that I side with Jimbo with that I think Jimbo is moral and good.
No.
But that was your argument earlier.
It wasn't that you think that Jimbo is moral and good. It is that you didn't like Saban for this exact reason, that he's a liar.
No. Well, I don't like Saban at all. And there's many reasons for that. I asked you a very specific question. He's your coach. And he's not just a liar, because all these guys lie. He has no – like, some of these guys lie, and they look really uncomfortable doing it. And when they're done saying their lie, we all kind of look at each other and like, that was weird. That was awkward. That was – because for the most part, unless you're a sociopath, people are really bad at lying, because it's not in our human nature. Maybe it is, and maybe I just got all this stuff wrong. He's so easy to do it. Jimbo's called him a narcissist. He's a sociopath. This guy, if it wasn't for all the glitz and glamour, he could be a serial killer, because he just doesn't have feelings at all, other than it's my way, or I don't get what I want. I burn the whole place to the ground.
Or you might be looking at it a different way. Think of this. Saban doesn't believe it's a lie. Like, he doesn't think that he's lying.
That's just not true. No, that's not true. This guy is too much of a control freak to not to leave it in the hands of people that he doesn't know and let stuff just happen in the background. You know that, and I know that. He's way too much of a control freak to just say, "Boost." This is why he doesn't like this philosophy. He doesn't like the legal way to do it now, because now he has to say, "I'm going to go recruit kids. Boosters, you guys do what you got to do." Before, he was very much in control of all of it. You know that, and I know that. He doesn't let anybody touch anything without his hands on it. You know that.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Him and Belichick are the same person. Go look at Bill Belichick right now. Bill Belichick doesn't have an offensive coordinator. He doesn't have a defensive coordinator, and he doesn't have a general manager. He's literally trying to run the entire football team by himself because he doesn't trust anyone else to give them the damn job.
Yeah, it's insane.
This is no different. This is no different. The difference is legally, to do it legally, Nick has to be completely removed from it. Not just a little removed, not just you're gonna control all this, but when the investigations come, you go slip out the back door and we take the heat. No, no, no. This is 100%. You cannot be involved at all. And because it's above board, everybody is watching.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Last comment, 14 seconds from Jimbo Fisher here. Interesting on his part.
Discipline. No, I wasn't. No, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, "I ain't went back and worked for him," with opportunities.
That's it. He laid it out there. You know, he didn't go back to work for Saban.
I'll tell you this. It's not just he didn't go back to work for Saban. This is what frustrates me greatly. This whole, they're former assistants, and so nobody's beating him. The dude loses, like, a game and a half a year for the last – or maybe it's less than that. Like, you know, for the last 20 years. So not a lot of people beat him at all, okay? And he's got a lot of coaches that used to work for him and then now don't, and they're all head coaches. And we make it out to be like he was some mentor and he developed all these guys. Lane Kiffin was an NFL head coach before Nick Saban was. Like Lane Kiffin didn't learn shit from Nick. He went there and he taught Nick. He taught Nick how to run this new offense that can help him bring his old offense into the modern football. Okay? But now all of a sudden Lane is some assistant from Nick, and it's real important to beat daddy. Like, that's bullshit. That's all bullshit that media people use to just blow Nick's hog. That's all they do all day long. They want access, and if you don't blow him, you don't get the access. This guy has been put on a pedestal, and for the first time since he's been in Alabama, for the first time since he left the NFL, somebody came along and said, I'm done. I'm not bowing to you. I'm not kissing the ring. Everyone treats you like a god, and I'm about to call it out, okay? I'm about to call it out. You're not a god, and they're all just making you believe this. And if the media continue to believe it, then shame on them.
Jimbo denying paying players. I find it odd that they have, you know, what was the first real mega booster collective. He acts like these kids making money is a bad thing. Why do you think
I wish Jimbo... I don't know the answer to that because obviously Dion does the same thing. I don't know the answer other than these kids' families have told them, we don't want people knowing what we make. We want to make some money, and legally we can now get paid. But we need to keep – listen, we're not public figures, and our salaries aren't public. These aren't coming from state institutions, okay? So we would like nobody to know what we make.
Yeah,
because most of these people are coming from poor neighborhoods and coming from poor families. And if you let someone know in a poor – look, I grew up in a poor neighborhood, and when somebody in our neighborhood got a lot of money, the first thing they did was move the hell out of the neighborhood. Why?
Yeah.
Because everybody comes beating on the door looking for handouts.
Yes, you're right.
Looking for help. And it's not just handouts. That makes that sound shitty. They're looking for help because they are poor, all right? So I think a lot of that has to do with these coaches have told the families, we're going to take care of you, and we'll keep it private. Okay?
Yeah.
So we know
these guys are getting it. Now, the dude in Miami ain't keeping nothing private. But that's fine. That's between him. But hang on. That's between him and his recruits' families. Okay?
Yes,
that's,
agreed.
That's 100%. I don't know the answer to that. I can't speak to it. Because if I was a coach, I'd be bragging about it. But now, remember, I got to say, if I'm the coach, I have to stay removed from it. But I can say, our guys are getting NIL deals right and left. You want to come be a great, an Aggie and get paid, get a great education and get paid? You can do them both, and we're going to do it. And we're going to do it above board, okay? And we're going to do this stuff the right way, but we're going to make sure you're compensated well. I'd be bragging about it. I don't care. I don't know why Deion, because it's not just Jimbo. Deion's too, and all the other coaches. I haven't seen one coach outside of Nick last year with Bryce Young brag about how much a player's made.
Yeah.
Not one coach has done it. And so, obviously, I think some of these families aren't used to having money for the most part, and I think some of them are very uncomfortable with it at first.
That's the only thing
I can think of. Because I'm going to tell you this. If I was that guy, if I was the golden goose, okay, for my family, and somebody came and threw $200,000 down to my mama, my mama wouldn't have told a soul. And she wouldn't have let me tell a soul, and she wouldn't let me go anywhere if they were going to tell a soul. Not one soul.
Yeah, that does – you have a very valid point there.
I think it's privacy because these kids are young. What do you think if you're – just picture yourself. You're now a parent. You've got a daughter getting ready to go off to college the next couple of years, okay? Let's say she's going, to a place like Alabama, all right? A place where some people got money, some people don't. A lot of people are struggling college students. Do you want all her friends to know she's got $500,000-$600,000 in the bank?
Yeah, probably not.
She has it, not you. She has it. Because what do you think those friends are going to do?
Oh, they're going to hit her up for like she'll have to pay for every dinner, everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
I think it's in the best interest of these kids. Now, I want the kids to get paid. I do not care. But now when I start thinking, how would I feel if it was my kid, or how would my mom think if it was me? I'm telling you, the reason they're denying it is because these families are probably, and I'm just using that as an assumption. I don't know the answer. If it's because they're ashamed of the NIL stuff, they're ashamed that the only way they can recruit and beat Alabama is because of NIL, that's stupid. At some point, but you know me though, Gary, I don't have any pride about stuff like that. Did we win or did we lose? I don't care. If we didn't break rules, then I don't care that somebody else gets the credit. I don't care that some booster got the kid that I couldn't land.
Now, the other part of this that might be
never bothered me.
The other part of this might be the fact that that the NIL stuff, the NCAA has come back out and they're going to dive into these collectives because it is technically still against the rules.
To use it for recruiting.
To use it for recruiting, and two, for boosters to be involved with athletes at the school, right? So that's the other part.
But hang on now. How do you pay the athletes if you're not going to be involved with them? That doesn't make any sense.
See, that's the thing.
And Nick is right. Okay, by the way, first off, he defends the NCAA. That's when you know he's wrong. That's when you know the bastard ain't got a soul, okay?
He just when did he defend the NCAA?
He talked about how the NCAA is getting all this flack and they're struggling because of all these lawsuits and people need to back off of them.
He never said that. He said they can't enforce their own rules right now.
Because of that. Hang on. But do you know why? Because of that? See, this is what he's not telling you. This is one of those things where he's saying something without saying it, Gary. That what he's not saying is the reason they keep losing in court is because they're wrong.
No, we know that they're wrong.
But he doesn't know that. He doesn't think that. He thinks they're right.
No, but Saban has built up
the walls.
Saban has built up this dynasty under these presumed NCAA laws, and now that they are completely going away, I can understand why he would be upset about it. Do I think it's whining?
Well,
yes, 100%. I think it's whining.
But it's not just whining, and it's not just he built it up under the old NCAA laws. He did it with the NCAA openly and willingly turning the other eye, looking the other way.
You might be onto something there. By the way, I do need to mention
and I
this.
Believe that, and I'll tell you this: I believe that with all my heart. You can tell me I'm crazy. I say a lot of wild shit, especially when it comes to Nick and Alabama, because I believe this stuff, okay? I know how dirty these sports are, and I know how ruthless these coaches are, all right? I believe it, and nobody will convince me otherwise. I'm telling you, he gets where he gets because he's been in the pocket of the NCAA. They allow him to be the greatest because it's best for them.
Okay. Let me go on and mention this.
Relationship.
Let me mention this. I do believe some of what you're talking about. Mark Emmert was the president at LSU, and he was a hand in hiring Saban to LSU.
Yep.
So, yeah, he and Emmert have a pretty good relationship from what I understand. So it would make sense. As far as Saban talking about this stuff, this was more, if you go back and listen to the beginning of Saban's comments on NIL, et cetera, this was a call to arms, basically, for Alabama boosters. This was an event that took place. It was him and Nate Oates and Joe Namath. It was an event in Birmingham to lead off or prepare the city for the World Games coming there over the summer. So it was kind of a kickoff party for that, and he was asked this question about NIL, and he went a lot further than I believe that he would have, but it was to let those businessmen in Alabama know, if this is the direction that this is going, if we are going to have to start paying, then you guys are going to have to chip in. You guys are going to have to step up your game a little bit because this is what's going to happen. Now, he did talk a lot at one point about kids coming to Alabama. I don't know if it was in that clip that we played earlier, but kids that have grown up wanting to come to Alabama that are not now because they're being offered all of this money to go elsewhere. And he said, one of the biggest problems is you guys, like one of the guys in the audience, is going to pay some kid a bunch of money, and they're going to come to campus, and then they're not going to play, and that guy's going to, you know, bounce around town, and, oh, yeah, I paid for so-and-so to come to Alabama, and da-da-da-da. And if that kid doesn't play, and then they transfer out, that same booster is going to go, I'm never going to do this again, which I think was the whole point to begin with for this NIL stuff. If you were going to pay them, let the market correct itself. Like, these kids at Texas A&M, not all of them, if they all got NIL deals, they're not all going to be huge NFL draft stars, right? They're not all going to be great. You're not going to win four straight national titles at Texas A&M. Like,
correct.
So the market will correct itself over time. I think Saban's issue is that he is 70 years old. I don't know that he's got time. I think that's his biggest problem right now, because I don't think he wants to adjust. Like, I don't think he gives a rip about doing that. I think he wanted to keep the sweet thing going that he's got, and I understand that. But I also understand
the other side. Yeah, he gets to break the rules and nobody else does. Like, yeah. The idea that we understand that he wants to be able to continue to break the rules and get away with it and nobody else can is wild to me. Like, I can't just blah, blah, blah across that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can understand.
We're just at an impasse where I just can't move from that. Well, yes, him and Kirby Smart have been getting all the best players, and for some reason the SEC and the NCAA just look the other way, but heaven forbid a little school get a couple of good players or beat those schools a couple of times, and the NCAA is gloving up and coming running.
Hey, by the way, we are 30 minutes in. We are probably going to push the Mountain West Conference West Division to next week. So we'll pick up on the previews next week because we still got some stuff to talk about. With this, on top of that, Coach Prime said that he was going to address this. He has not as of yet.
I was about to say, I haven't seen anything from him yet.
He posted out some video of Travis Hunter and his son, like, doing private workouts or something. So, you know, I'm sure Coach Prime is going to come with fire. I just don't know when it is, and we ain't waiting around on it. Saban, by the way, is supposed to be on. We're recording right now is 3:23 p.m. Central Time. Saban is supposed to be on one of the Sirius XM shows in 7 minutes. So we won't know exactly what he says until afterwards. But we'll be sure to address it, I would imagine.
I do like that Jimbo, they asked if Jimbo has talked to him. He said, no, he's called me several times. He said, but I'm not taking this call.
Yeah, he said
he's
done.
I do like that Nick has seemingly realized, oh, I might have fucked up.
Like, I might have gone a little too far with this.
And now I got to call this old coach and pretend, oh, you know, this is just recruiting battle stuff. You know, no hard feelings kind of bullshit. Like, you're just doing your best. I'm doing my best. And this is how we play the game now.
I could not believe last night. Like, it got shared out. Mike Rodak is the beat reporter for AL.com for Alabama. And he shared it out and didn't put quotes or anything around it. Just said Saban, colon, and then the quotes about Texas A&M and all that kind of stuff. And I said, okay, he's trying to imply, or he's trying to say what Saban implied. There's no way that Saban actually put a name to this. And I was just wrong. Like, he came out and said all of it, and I could not believe it. Lane Kiffin, by the way, Bruce Feldman reached out to him, and Kiffin told him, I am speechless. Like, this should have been on pay-per-view. And Kiffin was one of the ones that was calling out Texas A&M to begin with, saying, look, at Ole Miss, like, I don't know that we're going to be able to compete if these guys are going to pay money like this. And the reason that this gets brought up at all is because A&M has been a really strong recruiting team, but they have generally been somewhere between the 5 and 15 range for the last 10 years. And they have never been close to a number one recruiting ranking, and now they've got the greatest recruiting class of all time. And that's why this has become a thing.
But hang on. Nobody cared when Georgia, with Mark Richt, was a top 10 recruiting class in the nation every year. And then all of a sudden, Kirby Smart moves in, and they're number one, number two, number one, number two, number one, number two, like 5 years straight. Ain't nobody got a problem with that under the old regime, because all that money was going under the table. We're all supposed to pretend we didn't know. We're all supposed to pretend we didn't know what was happening.
Well, no, it's because we didn't have all the changes in the sport, right? Like, right now, NIL has come out, and I'm not saying
that. But one guy did it illegally. The other guy waited at least until the rules were changed. Does that not sound like something reasonable to a rational person?
I think if this story had not come out about them paying $30 million for this class.
So it's the amount of money. So it's the amount of money that bothers you. Stop. You can't say that. You said $30 million and that's the reason why.
No, I'm not saying that I have a problem with it.
Nobody would have cared.
What I'm saying
is, nobody would have cared?
No, I don't think anybody would have said anything about it.
If they had the number one class in the history of the world, but everybody only got 30,000 and it wasn't a $30 million number, nobody would have cared.
Even then, I think people would have still talked about it because NIL is a thing now. We have known Texas A&M is one of the richest universities, completely covered with boosters, right? Yes. We have known that for a long, long time. Yes. And the reason why it is such a thing now is because NIL is here. You can now pay kids. And A&M all of a sudden gets the number one recruiting class, and Jimbo still swears to God that nobody got paid.
But see, you keep getting stuck on Jimbo swearing to God. I am stuck on the fact that these boosters were so under control. We should be applauding them that they had all this money all these years, and they didn't throw it around to get the number one recruiting class in the country.
No, I think Georgia didn't know how to do it. Like that's
hang on, wait a minute. They didn't know how. They didn't know how.
Yes.
Hang on. So Georgia knew how, but A&M didn't.
That's the way that I perceive it. Yeah.
So he knew how to cheat. Not that I think all these schools know how to cheat. I just think some of them aren't willing. And I'm not, like I said, there are no moral high horses here. Okay. All of these guys play dirty, and all these guys are ruthless. But the idea that they were only willing to go so far in the past because it was all in the dark, and now as soon as it comes to light, they're all willing to break open the banks. I think that's actually commendable. I actually think that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Maybe so.
I wish my school were doing it.
Everybody's got a collective at this point. Alabama just created theirs a month ago, which is part of the reason why Saban was talking about this to begin with.
Yes, okay. Yeah. But all collectives aren't the same. I literally heard one of the podcasts I listen to for LSU, where the head guy that's been getting all these NIL guys for LSU, he's the big attorney down there, like, he's not a part of the collective. And he knows that LSU is putting a collective together, but he doesn't really know much about what's going on with it. So, no, not every school has one, and they're damn sure not all the same. But what I'm telling you is all of these guys have been paying – large sums of money to illegally get kids all these years. And A&M said, we're obviously going to go to a point, but then we're going to stop. And now that it's legal, they're not stopping. And that bothers everybody. But Alabama and Georgia, they had no point in which they wouldn't stop. They paid millions of dollars to get the top-rated kids in the past in the dark. We just didn't know exactly how much everybody got. But we knew it was obscene.
Yeah.
And nobody had a problem with it. Everybody turned a blind eye that was supposed to be in charge because they didn't have hardcore evidence. I didn't see the body and the smoking gun. So I guess I can't investigate at all.
Next week, by the way, or sorry, in 2 weeks, we have the SEC meetings in Destin. I would imagine that should be incredibly entertaining. And then, of course, we've got July when SEC Media Days will get here. Let's talk about Ross Bjork for a minute. Bjork said Saban's personal attacks violate SEC bylaws. He talked to Ross Dellinger over at SI, and he said he's been in discussion about the situation with Commissioner Greg Sankey. He referred to Saban's comments as a personal attack on his university and on his coach. He believes the comments could trigger a reprimand from the league office, which I believe that when I see it. He said he's communicated with Sankey.
Never get reprimanded.
Where is Greg Sankey in all this, by the way? Like, this is insane.
In a closet.
Mike's live.
He's hiding.
Mike's live would be.
He's a coward, too. You know why he got the job? Because he's about 6 inches up Nick's ass right now.
Bjork said, I don't know why Nick Saban would say what he said, except he's threatened. He said, there is a saying, an emperor who loses their dynasty lashes out. He seems to be making excuses. Coach Fisher. He said, this is personal. Coach Fisher views this as a personal attack on his integrity and on Texas A&M's integrity. He said, to have personal attacks, to say that the only reason A&M is recruiting well is NIL money, is wrong. I want to toss this up here. It shouldn't take but just a minute, but this is something that I said back in 2019. I don't know if you remember this or not.
Topic number one, Ross Bjork has been hired at Texas A&M from Ole Miss to A&M. I was the one vouching, at one of many, really, saying that Ole Miss should have fired Bjork because of how messy the situation got with the NCAA. You can go back and read all of my articles from back in 2016, 17, whatever, and you'll see that he had no idea what he was doing with that situation. He let his football coach run the entire department, it felt like. He was taking orders from Hugh Freeze. They felt blessed, basically, to have Hugh Freeze as their coach. And instead of stepping up and handling the situation, they just let it fester and fester and continue to build until finally something came up with Hugh Freeze, and they were able to get out of it, right? Now, I understand that there were legal things going on, but this is I cannot believe that somebody else would hire Ross Bjork. Now, saying that, if you wanted an AD that knows about booster culture, that understands how it works, at Texas A&M has an insane booster culture. They have got all kinds of guys throwing money at that school, throwing money at whatever they need to, right? So if you're A&M, you want somebody that's going to be okay with it, that's going to let it go on. Ross Bjork is your guy. So if you want to be able to do shady stuff and let the AD just stay in the dark about it, Ross Bjork is the perfect way to go.
That's what I said when he was hired in 2019. And, of course, all of this stuff is coming out now. Because it's just blown up, right? And to be fair, I don't think there's anything really shady that's going on. The only reason they're wanting to keep it quiet is, one, what you said, Chris, about the players not wanting people to know that they made a bunch of money, and two, it is still technically illegal under NCAA rules. Now, whether or not the NCAA can enforce that is a whole different thing, but the boosters are not supposed to induce students, as we talked about, student athletes, to come to the school with money. Like, that's the only reason why they would be denying it, etc. I don't think it's anything shady. We know the kids can get paid now. But Ross Bjork, with all of this stuff, like, he cannot help himself but get involved in stuff, right? Like, why in the world should Ross Bjork be coming out and calling Ross Dellinger at Sports Illustrated to talk about this situation? Like, what purpose does it serve for him to talk about it at all?
Because he wants somebody to stand up to Nick. He wants the SEC to do something about
Jimbo. Jimbo already did it.
Yeah, but he wants something official from somebody that's not at his school. He wants the SEC to say, are we going to continue to let this guy run the SEC?
Or are you going to continue, or are you going to move forward and say right is right and wrong is wrong, and if he's going to pick fights and he's going to make accusations like that, then we're going to do whatever it is that we're supposed to do with those things.
So why didn't he say this when Lane Kiffin made the exact same comments earlier in February?
Gary, that you know the answer to this. You don't punch down because Ole Miss is not a threat to A&M. I'm not saying Ole Miss can't beat A&M. I'm not saying any of that. Ole Miss has beaten them plenty of times. But they're not playing the same game.
Which, hey, by the way, first comment from Nick Saban on Sirius College Radio. He said he tried to contact Jimbo Fisher and Deion Sanders. He said, I reached out to him. I never got a response. I feel bad about it, but I'm not changing my philosophy. I look at the betterment of college football.
Yeah, that's right. No, he looks at the betterment of himself, and that's it. So you asked that. Hang on. So you asked that question about why is Deion so ashamed of this? Why is Jimbo so ashamed of this? Why is Nick so ashamed to say that he's hiding behind the velour that, well, I'm trying to do what I think is best for the game. You know, the game that I've dominated for 20 years and nobody's been able to touch me. I don't want the rules to change because I don't want to hurt my legacy. Why don't you just say that?
Because
this isn't what's right for college football. It's not what's better for college football. It's what's better for Nick. Not one person agrees that the old way is the better way to do things than the new way. Now, they might want some restrictions. And the thing that bothers me about the restrictions is it's only about the money. It's only about the amounts, okay? This is all about how much they're getting. If they were getting pittance, nobody would care. If we were throwing them $5,000-$10,000, nobody would bat an eye or lose any sleep. But the idea that these 17 and 18 year old kids make more than me offends a lot of people. It really bothers them.
Yeah, you might be onto something there.
That is pure ass jealousy.
Brittany Murphy, tell
you this, you and I live in the South. You and I live in the South, and you know what all these boosters look like. Okay,
yeah,
all these boosters look like you and me. All of them. And the idea that somebody else might be not just making a lot more money than them, but it's a poor little kid that don't look like them.
Yeah.
And I think Alabama's got a problem. I think LSU, listen, this is my school. You know the reason our collective is having a problem? It's because I think there's a lot of people down in Baton Rouge that have a hard time with an 18-year-old making more than them that looks different. Now, if it was their kid, they'd have no problem. If it was the neighbor down the street's kid, no problem. Poor little black kid, I ain't giving them all that damn money. I'm telling you, because I know these people.
And you might be onto something. Nick Saban, by the way, another quote, I should have never singled anyone out. That was a mistake. I apologize for that. Let's go ahead and hit this. Alabama was a 15-point favorite against Texas A&M in the early lines. That has since ballooned to 16.5. So, a lot of people think Alabama is going to take it out on A&M on October 8th. Oh, so okay. we got a long ways to go.
Good job.
Yep.
Good job. There are substantially better football teams today. Okay. The reason Nick is upset about this is because he's afraid in 3 years they won't be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I agree.
The way Nick built this dynasty was stacking classes, and he understands that if somebody else, Georgia just did it. Georgia stacked classes the last 4 years. Georgia had a better recruiting four-year collective over Alabama. And guess what? Georgia beat Alabama on the field. The players win championships.
Yes.
It ain't coaches. I love coaches. I follow coaches. I pick and choose games because of coaches. Players win. The teams with the best players win the game 90% of the time.
Oh, that's partly why my bet on Clemson over Iowa State in the bowl game this year made so much sense, because Clemson was like a 1-point favorite. And I mean, what are we talking about? That was absurd. Let's dive into hey, you know what? Let me go on and do the podcast read right quick. Website, winningcureseverything.com. I want to make sure we fit this in before the hour. Winningcureseverything.com is the site. You can find everything you need to know about us over there. If you've not already, subscribe on the YouTube page. Go ahead and like this video if you're watching right now. But subscribe to the YouTube page, jump into the comments, jump into the chat, and make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast as well. Lots of fun stuff, of course, always with the podcast, and you can listen to it in your headphones. Very easy when you're walking or working out or whatever. On top of that, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at GaryWCE. Chris is at ChrisBGiannini, and the show is at Winning Cures. You can also find me over at BetUSTV.com, BetUS TV. I'm doing a bunch of how-to gamble on sports videos. Next week, how to bet on boxing, which is going to be a lot of fun with TJ Reeves and Dan Raphael. And several other videos will be coming after that. So check out BetUSTV.com.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
All right, next on the board, we are going to get into...
Hey, hang on. Before we leave this...
Okay.
All right, this is 100% loser talk from Nick. How does that make you feel, honestly? Now, this really is not me trying to take a pop shot, because I've been a part of a team where my coach had loser speak, and it really, really bothered me. Like, getting beat on the field is one thing, but having losers, like, coming in second and then going on national TV and crying about it, like, that's sad.
Well, that's one way to look at it. I don't, you know, until this affects the field, like, it doesn't bother me. Which, and I'm different than most Alabama fans, and I think that you know this.
I used a word on Twitter. Yeah, that's true. I used a word on Twitter that I don't use, and I hate. I kind of hate it myself, but I have a rule where I just do not delete things if I regret saying it, especially if it's not really offensive. It's just stupid. People can know I'm a moron. That's fine. That doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I fully believe that this is very much beta speak. Like, this is I've seen Nick my entire life, love him or hate him, which I really hate him, is as an alpha kind of guy. I think I was wrong. And I think that was all this is. It's easy to look like an alpha when you're winning all the time. But the very first time he gets hit in the mouth by somebody just as big or bigger than him, he immediately crumbled. And he immediately went to the corner and started crying. This is beta speak.
I
think this is a dude that and now he might come out swinging, and he might, you know, he might reinvigorate the fan base, and y'all might drop a bunch of dough, and next year y'all are going to have the number one class again, and you might beat, you know, A&M by 40. Those things all might happen. That ain't got nothing to do with how he actually responded to this. I think this is sad.
Another quote, by the way, from him on Sirius XM. If alumni gives money, or money is raised through a collective to give to a player, that is no different than alumni giving the player money. The collective becomes a representative of the school, and you cannot do that. By the way, Saban said, I wasn't really saying that anybody did anything illegal in using name, image, and likeness. I didn't say that they broke rules. So, I mean,
well, it's good.
I don't look at it so much as beta speak. I look at Jimbo maybe as getting a little overworked on this, because I might would have gone at it a different direction. But, you know, I mean, seriously, like, I do love the content. I do love that. Until something changes on the field, like, you know. I think you and I both have seen too many 5-stars not hit, right? And obviously when you get a bigger collection of them, you are more likely to have some of them hit, right?
But that's why you got to stack classes.
Yes.
That's why you have to stack classes. That's why one class doesn't do it. What's weird is everybody's going to expect A&M to win the national title this year, which those people don't understand how the sport actually works. And these are the same people that think, oh, this team won the draft, so they're going to be great next year. No, they're probably not going to make the playoffs next year. But, that you know, they're getting better. Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a class like this is not going to hurt Texas A&M. For sure.
No, it's only good. But the problem is the perception from a lot of people is going to be, well, now you got to win it all or else it was worthless. And that doesn't make any sense to me.
How many
years has Georgia been stacking classes and they finally won it?
What, 4 years? 5 years?
And,
like
and
2018
so, and,
is when they
and,
really kicked it up?
Anybody who wants to throw A&M at any standards other than what Georgia just did, I would like you to shut up and go to the corner.
Wait, by the way, don't you imagine that Kirby Smart is just sitting back and laughing at all this?
No, I don't, because I think Kirby really agrees with Nick, because I think Kirby's just as worried. He's been able to dominate for a long time, and he looks in his division's got a big boy like Jimbo and them too. They got a couple of them, all right? Yep. Tennessee got a lot of money. You're talking about teams that are desperate, okay?
Yeah.
You're trying to convince a guy, a booster, that's been helping you buy players in the black market for 20 years and given fortunes, for more money than you and I will ever make in our lives, they've given away to this program. Over 20 years, they've had an amazing run. And these other schools have had nothing. And now they got an opportunity not just to give, but to give more than they've ever given in their lives, because now they actually get to write it off on taxes. See, in the past, they didn't get to do that. And that's something that rich guys love. Oh, rich guys really love writing stuff off on taxes. I think the desperate teams that have a lot of money are about to have a couple of years in the sun. Now, I'm not saying they're going to take over. I'm not going to say they're going to go in a 20-year dynasty. I think they're going to stack classes, baby. And I think it's going to be real hard to stop them because they're desperate.
Well, I do think
desperation makes men do crazy things.
If there are no changes to NIL, I think we can set up something that's very similar to what the NCAA had in the 1990s, right? In the 90s, you had Colorado and Georgia Tech split a title. You had Washington and Miami split a title. Alabama won it in 92, Florida State in 93, Nebraska won it in 94 and 95, Florida won in 96, Michigan and Nebraska split in 97, Tennessee 98, Florida State 99, and then Oklahoma in 2000.
Well, the reason I don't think you're going to have that many different schools do it, because I don't think that many different schools care enough about it to spend the money that it's going to take to win.
You're probably right. You are probably
right
about that.
Show me the Colorado boosters that are going to compete with the SEC.
Hey, well, I don't think Colorado and Georgia Tech are going to be competing.
But you see what I'm saying? So name 15 schools that you think are willing to spend that level of money. Even in the SEC, we don't have 15 schools that will spend that.
But no, but I do think, you know, if Texas really ups their game, if USC really ups their game, Ohio State, Michigan, there's a lot of big-time schools with big-time boosters that could – reasonably get there 1 year, right? Penn State, a lot of schools in the SEC. You could still to this day see Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Texas A&M, Florida, Tennessee, like all win a national championship at some point in the next 15, 20 years, right? So that's seven schools right there. We'll then toss in USC. If Phil Knight decides to really go at this thing before he passes away, because he's getting on up there, then Oregon could jump in there. As far as the Big 12 goes, I don't know who would be left after Oklahoma and Texas. They're coming over to the SEC. So who knows? Like, there's a lot of big money schools that could force their way into this if the NIL stuff is not changed. And I don't believe it's going to be. So I would imagine that the teams and the schools that actually have money, that have people that care about the school, yeah, they're going to have an opportunity here. Like 100%. 100%. That brings us, by the way, let's get off of this one. Let's talk. I did want to mention this last comments from Saban. Let's see. I wasn't saying anybody did anything illegal. He said that was something that was assumed with what I said. That's not what I meant, nor what I said. There's nothing illegal about this. It is the system that allows you to do it, and that's the issue that I have. He said, I don't think NIL in its original form is what people wanted it to be, or what people wanted it to be, is really an issue at all. I think collectives are the issue. I'd see where he's coming from, but also, it's just ridiculous. All right, hold on. I got to pull this up on the screen. Good Lord. The SEC has officially reprimanded both Saban and Jimbo. Let me read this. How ridiculous is this? Pull it up on the screen. All right, here we go. The membership of the Southeastern Conference has established expectations for conduct and sportsmanship that were not met last night nor today, said Greg Sankey. A hallmark of the SEC is intense competition within an environment of collaboration. Public criticism of any kind does not resolve issues and creates a distraction from seeking solutions for the issues facing college athletics today. There's tremendous frustration concerning the absence of consistent rules from state to state related to name, image, and likeness. We need to work together to find solutions. That will be our focus at the upcoming SEC spring meetings. As a result of public comments, Alabama Nick Saban public reprimand is issued, and the same for Jimbo Fisher, blah, 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 blah. So, okay. So we'll, let's see. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And looks like Chris has dropped out, and that is all good. That is all good. We will, let's see. His Wi-Fi dropped out, and he can't get back in. Da-da-da. No worries. All right. Well, no worries. No worries. We'll figure this out. I will go ahead and hit on this. We'll leave Chris on the phone here, or at least on the screen. Let's move into our next topic. You know what? Screw that. We've gone an hour. This is a pretty good topic for today. We will hit on these other ones on Monday of next week. Whew, good gracious. what a day, what a day, what a day. I guess those of you that didn't know, I am an Alabama fan. This has been a weird one. This is certainly weird, but that's the way it goes. All right, you guys go check out the website. Go check out the YouTube page and the podcast as well. With that said, we are going to get out of here. You guys take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this weekend.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.